Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Have a couple of announcements as we welcome you to the Southwest today. And if you're joining us online, thank you so much for being here and taking time to just out of your morning to log in on YouTube or Facebook and just participate in worship. And then for all that if you are here in the house, thank you. It's going to be a beautiful day of worship and baptisms for our confirmation class as they accept Christ for themselves today. And then also a huge invitation over here. I don't know if you saw people packing snack packs for our Cooper Elementary Schools. We feed every weekend about 80, 85 kids that are in need. And so just really encourage you after worship today. This is a little bit of a beg. You see me now, I'm down on my knees, I'm begging. After worship today, if you'll come over and just spend a few minutes, even if you can stay 10 minutes, 15 minutes to pack some of these so we can have those ready. A great opportunity to show your kids about serving and being in missions, even for people they don't know and will never see. That's part of our Christian heritage and part of our faith in Christ. And so if you'll stay and do that. And then the last thing, just as an announcement, before I bring you some encouragement, this is just for women, though, all right? And so who has these? Margaret has these. I think Felicia has some of these. This is a Friendsgiving women's brunch on November 19th at 10 a.m. It's here. I believe that is a Saturday, and it's going to be in this back room back here, one of the larger Sunday school rooms. And so I'll leave this out, but see, matter of fact, Felicia, would you stand up, and Margaret, would you stand up so they can see you? There's Felicia and Margaret. They have the information. I have one card. They have all the knowledge. Amen. So see them. Thank y'all. And you can get information about that. And I'm sure they're just handing these out to all the women that they run into. So so glad you're here. Lord God, as we gather in your holy name today, Lord, I just want us to release all the anxiety we have. Lord, release any inhibitions we have. Lord, to release any of maybe, I don't know why this comes to mind, but anger and bitterness today that we might have. Lord, that we would just release ourselves to you, Lord, in your glory, in your righteousness. Lord, release ourselves to receive your joy that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, and that we would just, even if it's just for a few minutes this morning, Lord, that we would just give you praise and glory. Lord, that we would just not feel the weight of the world on us. Lord, that we would just feel the weight of your grace. Lord, that we would just feel the weight of your forgiveness. Lord, we would just feel the weight of your power. Lord, that we could carry through as we leave today. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. And all in the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Sermon notes for today, you can text the word notes to that link right there. A lot of feedback. I don't know what that is. I know they'll work on it. It wasn't working earlier, but it is working now. I'm 99% not confident. And here's why I always struggle with this little piece of the sermon and doing this for all of you, is it's a free service. It's a great service when it works, but it doesn't always, and so I always feel badly when it doesn't, but most of the time it does. You can also scan that QR code and get the notes as well for today. As always, there's a little more in there, so I don't give it all to you out here, and you're not here until 2 o'clock, and so I know you're so grateful for that. So download the notes, or I'll have to keep you till 2 from now on, so... So it really is a significant day in the life of the church and for the confirmands, and we call it confirmation. That really is a very traditional, churchy term. What it is we really are, they are confirming most usually what they already know by saying, I'm going to accept faith in Christ for myself. And so they are doing that today. But it's also significant for all of us because you can do the same thing. And I really hope we do that daily, but as the body of Christ, I think it's important because it really is a public profession. I always make this invitation when we have the water ready. If you have never been baptized or you want to reaffirm your baptism, there's plenty of water. We have plenty of towels. We have all the things you need to do that today. And so all you have to do is just go home wet. That's the only thing. And it doesn't matter, okay? Because it really is that important. People have done it before. It really is a moving time when people just stand up and say, I want to be baptized today. And actually, we could do that every week. The water will just be a little chillier. That's the only difference. And when I say chillier, I mean freezing cold. But might be a great wake-up call for some of us. Amen? And so for the rest of us, though, to listen to what I'm going to talk to the confirmation class about is really important because it does apply to all of us. It never stops. This whole idea of who we are in Christ and how we live each day really matters, not just when you're young, but I do think, and I didn't mean that tongue-in-cheek when I said sometimes I feel like when you're younger, you're really closer to God because we get so used to being with God, right? And we start just kind of taking Him for granted, and we grow maybe not farther away, but you'll get this when I say it, but we get a little more distance, right? Might be in the same room with Him, but maybe not as connected. And so Romans 6:4 puts it this way, we are therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So my question is, are you living a new life today or are you still living the old life? Or you have one foot in both worlds and you've not really made that commitment today? Even if you're online today, you can make that commitment. You don't have to be in the room with me. Not a particular worship service, not a particular denomination, not any of that. If you'll call upon the name of Jesus, then you too may live a new life. And baptism really is just that extra another step that Christ calls us to. It really is more of a public profession of faith than it is a private profession of faith. And let me say this, and boy, nobody likes this. I talk to people about this more than any other topic in Christianity. This Christianity was never supposed to be a private faith, ever. Because everybody will say, well, don't talk to me about my faith because that's a private matter. Never, ever did Jesus ever think, or God in the Old Testament ever think it was a private matter. It's always a public matter. Ooh, I'm getting riled up. I better calm down or I'm going to make somebody really mad. So to do that, I want to go back quickly to Ezekiel, which we have already talked about earlier in the year, about this river that was flowing out of the temple. And I'm just going to give you a brief summary before I get to the scripture, that there was this, a stream that was flowing out from underneath the doors, the gates of the temple. And as it flowed, it got wider and it got deeper until it got so wide and deep that it couldn't be crossed. And as that happened, on the sides of the river, okay, it says this. This is Ezekiel 47:12. And it says, and by the river on its banks, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because of the water of their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. This whole idea, okay, they knew what river that was being discussed. They knew what this vision was about. It would be like me talking about the cross of Christ today to all of you. You know what the cross is, okay? You know what it represents. You know what it symbolizes. You know the sacrifice. You know why it's important to us. When they were talking about the vision of this river, they had it very, very much in mind that it was going to be the Jordan River. And so the Jordan River flowed from the Sea of Galilee, and it flowed down through the most desolate of lands, even though it looks green on both sides because it's getting its nourishment from the riverbanks. It's a desert, right? And as it got to the Dead Sea, well, the Dead Sea we're going to talk about was a place of what? Everything dead. There was nothing that lived in that water. And geographically, it flowed into the nooks and crannies of the most desolate places in all of their geographic area. And as it did that, though, look at what it does. It gives that nice green look on both sides, and we know how that works. There's an underground stream that goes into Caprock Canyon State Park, and if you see that, you'll know immediately because, as in West Texas, everything else is dead and brown, but there's this green grass and vegetation that grows in this serpentine design because there's water underneath it. So for us and for them to think about this, it's so important, because I'm going to tell you the last part of the scripture. It says this. It says, the desolate waters, which are to be miraculously healed, become the life-bearing flood. The fish shall swarm in the purified sea, and everything shall live in the river that flows. So for us, this idea of the water, I love Dallas. He was really great this morning. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, can we make the title, There Must Be Something in the Water? Well, that's the best thing ever. He's the new sermon title maker. If you have complaints, see Dallas. It really is about the water. It's about the nutrients. It's about what's in it that brings life. It's why we need the water. It's why when it rains, your grass miraculously grows faster and thicker and better than it ever does when you put Lubbock water on it out of your sprinkler system. Okay? It's why crops do better. It's why everything is better when it rains, because there's something about the nutrients in rainwater, okay, that comes from everything else that happens in the world, in the skies and in nature and in the evaporation and all the stuff, than just what we pump and what we try to make pure. Anybody think Lubbock water is pure? Right? And so this idea of this stream for us is the living water of God, the living water of Christ, which is so much better than anything else. And so I just want to give you this quickly today, is that when we think about living water and we think about living by the sea, I want you to do this. I don't want you to think about the lake and camping, okay? I want you to think about living by the river and having to move and flow with the ebbs of the tides of the river and the rise and the fall of the river and all the different things, okay? Because at the Dead Sea, it looks really pretty, okay? It's really beautiful blue water, and I don't know how much crystal clear water can get. I mean, that looks like a place that I want to go and live and reside. But in the Dead Sea, there's so much salt, because there's no place for the water to go after it reaches the Dead Sea, that it evaporates and more water comes in and it evaporates. Well, guess what? The salt has nowhere to go. And so there's more salt in the Dead Sea, percentage-wise, than in the ocean. It's estimated right now that there's 35 billion tons of salt in the Dead Sea. That's a lot of salt. That's a lot of stuff that really doesn't lend itself to growth. Oh, by the way, there is no growth in the Dead Sea. There's no fish, there's no seaweed, there's no vegetation, there's no amoebas, there's no, nothing. Absolutely dead. It looks really pretty, but that's all it looks. On the outside, it looks very inviting, but really, there's nothing to it. But for us, when you think about this river of life, when you think about what was flowing out from the temple, that's life, teeming with fish and vegetation and all sorts of things, and the purification that the river has as it flows over the rocks, and just all of the ways that nature takes care of that. And when we think about that, what happens, I don't know about all of you, but I don't want to camp there. I wouldn't mind living there. Think about it in your own spiritual life. It's no different. Camping is easy, and I'm going to get to that. Living by the banks of a river is a little bit harder. And so the grace of Christ, it really flows to all of us. So for you that are going through confirmation today, raise your hand. I need to see where you are. Some of you, one, two, okay, I got everybody. There he is in the back. And so for you to live is not to get comfortable camping. Now, when you go camping, I mean, you can take blow-up mattresses camping, amen? Oh, I know you do this. Don't lie to me. You take blow-up mattresses, you take your RVs, you take your travel trailers, your Class A motorhomes, you have your full cooking set. I mean, you have pots and pans, and you have the portable showers, you have all the things, all the creature comforts. Some of you have generators and air conditioners and all the things. Now, that's camping, amen? Yeah, that's camping. And some of you are like, that's the only camping I'm doing. But when you live by a riverbank, you're not getting, if you could see behind that a little bit better than I can see it great on here, but I mean, it's nothing but trees and rocks, and I mean, you're not getting a $300,000 Class A motorhome by a riverbank like this. You're just not. And you're not going to haul, unless you have pack mules or pack children, you're not going to haul all that other stuff. You're just going to take what you need. And that's what Christ keeps telling us over and over again. Just take what you need, because what you need is just almost all that the river provides. Clean water, food, right? And you get to live by it all of your life. But to do that, what it does is that you have to have that purification process. The river is a purifying process. That stream that flows out from under the temple gates and the temple doors is one that purifies us, and we want to be in it. We want to be a part of it. We want to be in that river. We want to be in the flow. I don't know if you know this or not, but you don't want to get your fish out of stagnant water. You want to get your fish out of flowing water. You want to, unless you have a life straw, some of you know what that is, unless you have a water purification system, you don't want to drink out of stagnant water, you want to drink out of the flowing water. And for us to do that, that means we have to be where it's not devoid of life and where it really is more of a challenge to live. And that's by the river as it flows. The Dead Sea, completely devoid of life. The river, full and teeming of life. And this purification that happens. John 7:38 says this: "The one who believes in me, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Doesn't say lake water. It says living water. That which moves. That which helps sustain us and others around us. So that's why I try to tell us all the time, and like for the confirmation class today, is that your life needs to affect other lives. It needs to change other lives. People need to know that they want to be like you, not because you're athletic. They want to be like you, not because you're a good singer or a good dancer, not because you're a good artist or you're good looking. It's because of something that they have to ask you: why are you different? And you say back to them, because of Christ that lives in me. Why does your life seem to work out in the midst of tragedy and hurt and heartache, and you're always trying to make ends meet, but why do you always have joy? Because of Christ that lives in me. Why does your marriage work? Because Christ that lives in me. Why are your children so much better than my children? Because of Christ that lives in me. Right? And lives in them, because we follow the way of Jesus Christ. We follow the river. We're not camped out around the lake. We do the hard things. We follow Christ. And the river also brings healing. Now, there's all sorts of arguments about the healing properties of the Dead Sea. Matter of fact, a huge industry around the Dead Sea about the salt water and the salt. But guess where that salt comes from? It came from the Sea of Galilee down through this river, one of the only salt rivers in the whole world. And when it gets to the Dead Sea, right, it deposits the salt. And so there's still the healing properties that happen, and this healing comes from what comes out of the temple. It says this, this is in John 4:13-14. "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." You don't drink Dead Sea water. Anybody ever had the mouthful of seawater when you're at the ocean? Oh my gosh, disgusting, and it gets in your nose, and it burns, and it hurts, and then you just start getting thirsty. And you get thirstier and thirstier. But the water that's the living water, anyone who ever drinks of that water I shall give him, they will never be thirsty again. But the water that I will give them will become in him, not only for themselves, not only for you, but a fountain of springing up water for eternal life. So for the confirmation, what you have already accepted Christ in your life, but you today, there is something in the water. Now, Jesus is not in that water, but what he represents in that water is the power of the Holy Spirit for you and for all of us. And so are you willing to get in the water? Anybody fly fishing here? Oh, good. I'm going to be the expert. See, when you can fly fish from the banks of a river, but it's so much harder and it's so less effective because you have to cast your fly upstream, and then it goes all the way downstream, and you have to work and reel it in as it goes, and you can't control it really. The water takes it wherever it wants to go. But here's why fly fishermen are always illustrated as being in the water. This is why they sell those $200-$300 waders that they can get in the water and not freeze to death and or get wet. It's because you're so much more effective in the water, because you can be better at controlling where the fly goes and how you can pop it up and in and out and keep making it act like a real bug on top of the water. But you can't really do that when you're on the bank. You're so much more effective in the water. For us, we are more effective for Christ when we are living on the banks of the river and we're in the water more than we're not. Here's the problem. Getting wet is messy. Getting wet takes time and effort to take an extra change of clothes and to make sure you have towels and to make sure you have dry socks and dry underwear, and you have to dry everything out and do all the things that you have to do. But isn't it so much more fun to be in the water? I don't know about all of you, but I am a super duper water person. If there's water, I want to be in it. All the time. I love the ocean, you know that. I love to ski, I like water ski, I like lakes, I like to swim, I like swimming pools, I like water slides, I just like water. I love water guns, I make children cry every time I play. I just love it. They just need to be better. Okay, that's just all there is to it. I just love water balloons. If you go to camp with me in the summer, it's an all-out war on Thursday night. Water is just fun. Water is just refreshing and reviving and healing. Christ knew that it was, because he said that living water brings fruit to your life. If you'll notice in Lubbock, Texas, when it rains at just the right time in the spring, everything blooms so much faster. And then whatever bloomed, if it's a fruit tree, the fruit is so much better in the summer. Weeks and months after that rain, it bears better fruit than it ever could from our own Lubbock water. See, the water of Christ allows us to bear better fruit. Now, I'm just going to put it out there, and I can prove it. You want to spend some time with me? I will prove it. Your marriages, your children, your jobs, your joy, everything. It elevates it to a level that can't be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. It just can't. And here's the deal, is that it saves also. If you get the right amount of rain at the right time in Lubbock, Texas, when crops are dying because it's been so dry, it will revive all of that. I mean, it will make it try and try and try harder than it ever did. And that can be the same for us. That can be the same for all of the circumstances of your life. If you think you're so far gone that that your marriages are in such dire desperation and things at your job are terrible and you just feel like you don't even know who Christ is, I just encourage you to jump in the river. To jump in that stream of the river of life, and I promise you things will change. It's still a hard life. Okay, being in the river, you have to fight the current, and you have to, if any of you have been in pretty significant-sized rivers, even if it's just up to your waist, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to stand there, and you have to navigate the rocks, and you have to try not to twist and break your ankle or your leg, and you have to do all these things. If you ever try to paddle upriver, that is so hard to do, but it's worth it. It's so worth it to live along the banks of the river as opposed to camping out at the ocean, at the lake and living in that, because it does bear fruit. And so don't camp at the lake. I know you love doing that. I love doing that. It's so enjoyable. It's so peaceful. It's so easy to have my coffee pot on the generator and have it go off on the automatic timer before I get up. Yes, I know how to camp. But do you know what I travel to do? What is so much fun to do? What is so much work to do? Is to live along the river. Really is. God, so much better though. Just to hear the water flowing. To hear Christ working in our lives. To see the changes. To see the difference. And to, instead of me having to paddle on the lake, oh my gosh, it's so much better just to sit back in the canoe and just let it take me. To be in the kayak and just to go and let it take me where it wants to take me. See, that's the analogy of life. And to try to go somewhere the river doesn't want to go, oh, it's hard. It's a challenge. Sometimes I like to do it, but guess what? I end up giving up and it'll let it just take me where it wants to take me anyway. Where Christ wants to take me. I can take all these little side places. I can try to swim upriver to what Christ is doing in my life. But eventually, I got to let it take me because I'm just going to wear myself out. And some of us spend our whole lives trying to swim upriver. I'm going to close with this, Revelation 22, 1 through 2. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on the other side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of all the nations. See, that's what we're looking for. Because, think about this. Jesus, God, he didn't plant the tree of life by a lake. Think about it. He planted the tree of life by the river of life. The one that flows. The one that heals. The one that brings grace and mercy. The one that gives us direction. Doesn't just let us go wherever we want to go. The one that gives us direction and shows us the way. And it carves the way before us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all those analogies. It makes the way. It knows the way. If we will just get at it and follow it. So I want to pray for the confirmation students. I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for the confirmation students. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for your families. Ask for that direction. Ask how to get to the river. Ask how to get to that place of healing and wholeness and restoration. How do that get to that place of life? And when I say amen, confirmation students and families, y'all can go out and get ready, get changed, and get prepared for a life-changing experience as we get into the water. Lord, I need you. Sometimes I can hear the river flowing, boy, and I just can't see it because it's on the other side of this mountain that I have created. Sometimes I can see and feel the mist from the rapids. But for some reason, I struggle to get in. And the great thing about the river is, Lord, you said that it's easier than not being in. So that your burden is light and your yoke is easy. I pray for these, your literal children, these students, these confirmation students, these confirmands, Lord, that they would realize that if they would just get in the water and follow you, life would be teeming with abundance that they need to live and sustain themselves and others for the rest of the days of their life. And Lord, for us that are choosing to swim upstream right now because we think we know best and that we missed out on something and we want to go back and do whatever, Lord, choices that we're making, Lord, I pray that we would just let go and, Lord, that we would ask you the direction that you want the river to take us. Lord, how we need to navigate this river. Lord, how to get through the rapids, how to paddle through the slower places on the river. Lord, how to access all the nutrients, all the life that will sustain us. How to pick the fruit from the trees that are on either side that are the trees of life. Lord, that's what we need. That's what I need. That's what every person I know needs. Friends, family, neighbors, enemies, strangers. That's what we all need. Well, I pray that we would pack up our camps. Lord, that we would just only take what we need for the journey. Not the excess, just the necessities. That we would travel light and nimbly for you. So, Lord, that we could be yours. And that the river of life that's in us would also begin to flow through us. Thank you for your holy word, Lord. Thank you for the visions of those that you have given thousands of years ago that continue to be visions for us today. Thank you for your work. Thank you for your sacrifice that we may participate in the river of life each and every day. It's in the name of Christ we pray. And all the people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.